Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646, 888-623-3646. That is the number to call in to yours truly. Couple of nuggets of information before I get to the NCAA tournament and some of the action that took place over the weekend, especially yesterday. Props to two people stand out in my mind before I get into that subject. One is on the NFL level, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the star wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks, the reigning defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, courtesy of 119 receptions, 1,793 yards receiving, a spectacular year where he was the primary focus of the Seattle Seahawks offense, particularly in the aftermath of DK Metcalf walking out the door and departing to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, not walking out the door, but being pushed out the door, to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jaxon Smith-Njigba just agreed to a four-year, $168.6 million deal, the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the National Football League. And I'm here to tell you something right now. He deserves every damn penny. He deserves every damn penny. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't just get paid for what you do. You get paid for your potential. You get paid for what you bring to the table. And when you look at Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I would remind you that he's 24 years old. Birthday, Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2002. He's 24 years old. Not 30, 24. And he already has shown that he is an all-world wideout, and he helped deliver you a Super Bowl championship. He deserves every penny, every damn penny. There's nothing to debate about that. You might have questions as to whether or not he's the best receiver in football. You might still think it's Justin Jefferson. You might still think it's Ja'Marr Chase. But in terms of levels of productivity, now, obviously, with Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, their quarterback situation left a lot to be desired. Joe Burrow goes down, even though Joe Flacco came in and quarterbacked well. Bottom line is Joe Burrow wasn't there for a chunk of the season. And don't get me started with Minnesota and what they did in letting Sam Darnold walk out the door and placing their faith in a relative rookie who hadn't thrown an NFL pass in a regular season game in his career, because the last time we saw him doing anything really was when he was winning a national championship at Michigan, and he wasn't even the star quarterback in that class. But nevertheless, the Minnesota Vikings placed their faith in him and it compromised the likes of a Jordan Jefferson. And by the way, they're lucky he didn't ask to be traded. But in the end, what it comes down to is Jaxon Smith-Njigba is not a name that you talk about as being the best in the NFL. And now it begs the question as to why that wouldn't be the case. Because the way that brother plays and the fact that he always finds a way to get open, and the fact that he had 119 receptions for 793 yards following up a season where he had 100 receptions for over 1,100 yards. He deserves his money. He deserves his money. Another person I want to give props to is Kevin Durant. Passing Michael Jordan. Fifth all-time on the NBA scoring list. And we can have a question, a conversation at some point today as to why Kevin Durant, the 7-footer with a 7'6 wingspan, who has been absolutely sensational throughout his professional career. This same dude that is a 2-time champion, 2-time NBA Finals MVP, who we all know is a first ballot future Hall of Famer, who we all know is one of the elite players to have ever played the game. I think top 10 all time. I think top 3 to top 5 scorer of all time. Why is this brother not talked about more? We can ask that question and throw that out there right now at 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. We'll get into all of that a little bit later. Outside of that, I want to go get a little personal here real quickly to bring up a person that you haven't heard of. Her name is Amaya Battle. Amaya Battle, point guard for the Minnesota Golden Gophers, who hit the game-winning shot. They hit the game-winning shot yesterday to defeat Ole Miss and Coach Yo, who I love dearly. And they beat Ole Miss. She hits the game winner, finishes with 14 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Did her thing, okay? Elite defensive impact, I might add, because she definitely defends. She's primarily a ball handler, great court vision and all of that other stuff, and we know that. But why am I bringing her up? One of my best friends in the world is a guy by the name of Boris Battle, who's my teammate in Winston-Salem State University, who happens to be her daddy. So my boy's a proud papa today. I understand why. So I wanted to give Amaya Battle all the love in the world. Congratulations to her and what she brought to the table. Major, major props to her. Now let me get into what transpired yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, the NCAA tournament has given us a treat because St. John's, with the darling of the NCAA tournament thus far, the one and only Dylan Darling, hits the game-winning layup as St. John's knocks off Kansas in a classic 67-65. First of all, to Darling, is the only shot of the game he made. The other four shots he attempted were all three-pointers, and he bricked a couple of them, by the way. He's a lefty that went to his right and shot with his right. We can debate the fact that Kansas didn't really have a defender in the vicinity other than on the on-ball defender to help out. They didn't have a defender. They didn't have an additional defender and let him get to the basket and score on a layup to win the game at the buzzer, sending St. John's to the Sweet 16 with a 67-65 victory. That's the first time St. John's has been to the Sweet 16 in decades. Rick Pitino has proven yet again to be one of the great, great coaches in NCAA history. So we got to get that out of the way first. Secondly, the reason I say it's turning out to be a treat is because UConn won too. And because UConn won, it appears that it's possible that UConn and St. John's might be on a collision course to meet in the Elite Eight for the right to go to the Final Four. Courtesy of UConn beating UCLA 73-57, having its way with them, and advances to the Sweet 16 itself. Dan Hurley's a hell of a coach. And UConn's got some making up to do because the last time we saw them against St. John's, they were playing in the Big East tournament, and St. John's annihilated them. Annihilated UConn. Kicked their living ass. Just a couple of weeks or a week or so after UConn had bust St. John's ass. But nevertheless, that's where we are right now. And because of that, that's the collision course. Now, here's where it gets interesting. In order for St. John's to get to the Elite Eight, they got to get through Duke. In order for UConn to get to the Elite Eight, they got to get through Michigan State. I can't say enough about the job that John Shire, the head coach for the Duke Blue Devils, has done. We're still waiting for the national championship. He doesn't have a national championship on his resume. That is obviously something that we know. But I'll tell you this. He's done everything else. At some point in time, you just got to stand down and give this man his props. I can't say enough about the job that John Shire has done. And you look at them right now. Caleb Foster sidelined by injury. Isaiah Evans becoming the second most impactful offensive players on Duke roster behind Cameron Boozer. Caden Boozer coming off the bench and handling his business in the first game against Siena the way that he did. Evans being a significant defensive presence. Gungba still not at 100%. Nevertheless, Duke is here. And they're the only ACC team left. Defeating TCU 81-58. Took them out. Up next, St. John's, Friday, 7:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on CBS. Can't miss that. Can't miss it. Just looking at this right now and watching things unfold and seeing how things are transpiring, I love what I'm seeing. New York needs this. New York needs this from St. John's. It's nice to see. And Rick Pitino, I just can't say enough about him. But Darling, he's not Darling. Darling is the man of the hour right now. And this is him talking about the last play post-game after St. John's knocked off Kansas. Take it away, guys.
By the time they ran out of fouls, I think there was probably 4 seconds left in the play that coach was trying to run. There wasn't enough time for it. And, you know, I threw the suggestion out, and, you know, I don't think coach really had a choice at that point in time. You know, I probably don't deserve this. I was pretty bad all night long, but everybody stepped up, including this dude right here, and just happy to keep, you know, to keep this thing rolling.
Great comments on his part, no doubt about it, because, again, he hadn't made a shot all game long. Hadn't been effective all game long, but it is what it is, okay? And now you have the prospect of St. John's and Duke going up against one another. Obviously, you got to get through Duke and Michigan State in order to pull that off. UConn and St. John's going up against one another. But even Danny Hurley spoke on it when asked about a potential game against St. John's if they both win this coming Friday. Let's hear what Dan Hurley, the coach of UConn Huskies, had to say about that possibility.
It'll be a live building. It's probably a little bit early. But obviously, I think we've got to try to support each other. It's pretty brutal on Twitter, I think, and social between our fan bases. But I think we got to kind of try to come together on Friday night against our opponents so that then we could have a bloodbath on Sunday.
I don't know about that one. Let the hostility roar. You know, and as long as y'all don't end up fighting fisticuffs or whatever, you're playing a basketball game, what the hell we care? We don't need you to, you know, wave pom-poms and hug one another and sing kumbaya to one another. Nah, Danny Hurley ain't down for that. We ain't hearing Rick Pitino saying that. Calm fan bases down. You want them as rabid as possible. Just don't do anything illegal and don't be getting in any fisticuffs. But go ahead and cheering on and be as vitriolic as you want to be and trying to derail momentum. That's the way I look at it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number. Call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Something else I wanted to get into based off of St. John's win. It was over Kansas. And you know what that means? That means we won't see Darren Peterson anymore in a college uniform. He'll be a top five pick in the NBA draft because the brother is a walking bucket. He's that special. He has that kind of capability. Finished with 21 yesterday. Only shot 5 of 15 from the field. Wasn't his greatest performance. We get all of that. But nevertheless, the reality is that the brother is a spectacular talent. He can ball. Yes, he can. And having said all of that, I am here to tell you right now, there is no way in hell I'm taking him with the number one overall pick in the upcoming NBA draft. There's always something when it comes to Darren Peterson. At least according to the basketball, you know, evaluators and scouts and stuff like that. Last play with Darling driving, you know, Darren Peterson had his back turned and was following the three-point shooter out there to make sure that it wasn't kicked out to one of them or whatever. But you still found yourself wondering what the hell was he doing defensively. 5 of 15 shooting, you expected a better performance from him. On top of all of that, there's been too many times this year where you're questioning his want it factor. And if you got that want it factor that's being questioned when you're only playing 30 damn games to 35 games in college, how the hell is somebody supposed to have faith in you that you're going to do it in the pros when it's 82 games and you're getting paid no matter what and the money's guaranteed? How that going to work? I don't see how. I don't get how. So I'm of the mindset, I'm not down with that. I'm not vibing with that. I got no question marks. I want to repeat, 0, 0, 0 question marks about Darren Peterson when it comes to his skill set. Just look at him. Look at his ability to get to the basket. Look at how fluid he looks pulling up from three or his mid-range. Going either side, either hand. The brother is electrifyingly skilled offensively. No doubt about it. But I'm not spending the number one overall pick on anything short of the closest thing to a guarantee that I could get. AJ DeBonza is it for me. That is just the truth. 6'8", 6'9", 7-foot wingspan, athletic, can play above the rim, finish at the basket, pull up from three, got a mid-range, hits free throws, and he's growing, and he's a professional up here. That's what I'm going with. Now, some of you may say, no, Stephen A., that ain't the way to go. The way we need to go is Darius A. Cuff Jr. I would say to you, that's possible. Brother averaging 30-7 in the NCAA tournament. Shoot 48% from three-point range. It is something else. I get it. Arkansas, to me, here's what I'm thinking about. I think Arkansas's run ends this weekend. I don't see how you're going to beat Arizona. I just think they got too much size. They're too big time on the glass. I don't see how you're going to beat the number one seed in Arizona. But I will say this. If Arkansas beats Arizona, they could beat anybody. They could beat anybody. I will say that. And because that's the reality, we got to see Darius A. Cuff Jr. This is must watch this week when this brother goes up against Arizona. It's much against Burries and Bradley. This is much see television this coming weekend. Arkansas versus Arizona. High Point gave him a run for their money, no doubt. But Darius A. Cuff said, this level is this, bro. I saw this cat, Rob Martin, this point guard, miniature point guard, dropped 30. I get that part, but it's time now. Give me the ball. Let's end this. And that's what a three here, driving into the lane here, and one here. I just got to tell you, it's just something else. Darius A. Cuff is that dude. Ladies and gentlemen, he reminds me of Allen Iverson. He just reminds me of Allen Iverson. He reminds Allen Iverson of Allen Iverson. He's that special. Just buckets. And he's available all the time. Walking around in a walking boot when he's not playing, not practicing at all because of how injured he is, and then shows up on the basketball court in the NCAA tournament and the SEC championship game, by the way, which they won the tournament, by the way, and he just balls out. Darius A. Cuff Jr. is a special, special brother. So right now, this is what begs the question. Who you take? You take the Bonza, you take Darren Peterson, you take A. Cuff Jr. as the number one overall pick in the upcoming NBA draft. Maybe we don't know the answer to that until the tournament finishes. The Bonza and Peterson are gone. A. Cuff Jr. still playing. Bonza, I don't think he should have went to BYU personally. That's just me. That's just how I feel, but hindsight's 20/20. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. Last point. And usually I don't like to go this many topics in the first break, but I got Tom Izzo coming on the show. I got a lot of stuff to get into. But I just think this needs to be said right now because it's on my heart. And I know he's going to be mad as hell at me. I don't care because I love him. It needs to be said. You know, a lot of noise is being made about Hubert Davis and whether or not he is going to survive at the University of North Carolina as its head coach. One of the biggest reasons it's being made is because since he was in the national championship game a few years back against Kansas, he hasn't really, really had anything to brag home about. Hubert Davis has been out in the first round last 2 years in a row. One of the years he didn't make the tournament at all. North Carolina, because of Duke's success with Shire, they expected more from Hubert Davis, and he hasn't delivered. He's won 20 games over the last five seasons. Damn it, we expect 30. It's North Carolina. And so I think it's important to be honest about that and to make sure that we're clear about what we're saying and where we stand. You go out there and you lose to 11th seed VCU after having a 19-point lead, and you lose to them in overtime. It's not a good look. Not a good look. But the bottom line is this. In Caleb Wilson, he got an All-American last year. He's got two All-Americans, including this cat Mingo, that he'll have next season. I'm fine with Hubert Davis staying, but being on the clock, because there shouldn't be this distance between you and John Shire. You're not coaching against Mike Krzyzewski. You're coaching against John Shire, who's been great. He can't be out recruiting you like this. He's had the top recruiting class in four of his 5 years. How's that possible? That's not good. If you're Hubie Davis, whether it's a change to your staff or you got to change, something's got to give. But I want to say this. I hope Hubie Davis survives and stays on as coach. I like him. I think he's a good man, and I think that he can coach. Here is where I automatically, without hesitation, make the exception. If Kenny the Jet Smith, formerly of TNT's Inside the NBA, now on ESPN's Inside the NBA, with Shaq, with Barkley, with the great, incomparable Ernie Johnson, if Kenny Smith wants to do it, he should be the next head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. That's right, I said it. This is a man that starred at North Carolina. This is a man that played with Jordan, that boogied on Mark Price and those boys. Kenny the Jet Smith is a brilliant basketball mind. But I got news for you. I think he'd be an even better recruiter. And I'd bet my check that if he was at the University of North Carolina, Duke would not have been the number one recruiting class in four of the last 5 years. I think North Carolina would have been one of them. Or two of them. You're not out recruiting Kenny Smith year after year after year. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. I'm here to tell you it ain't happening. Kenny the Jet Smith, my brother from Queens. His brother, Vincent Smith. Renowned trainer. Another brilliant basketball mind. Kenny Smith and I go back 40 years. I'm telling you, that's where you make the exception. If Kenny the Jet Smith wants to coach the University of North Carolina. Now we're going to get back to it's Duke or North Carolina. It's North Carolina or Duke. It ain't going to be a whole bunch of Duke all the damn time and North Carolina get leftovers. Not that Mingo's a leftover. Not that Caleb Wilson's a leftover. I'm certainly not implying that. I'm just saying. You got to have a strong recruiting class. We got to see Duke and North Carolina. You can't have Duke at the number one team in the nation and North Carolina is number 17 and then North Carolina lucks up and beat them in a game at the Dean Dome but gets stomped at Cameron Indoor Stadium. And we all know that North Carolina is perpetually and religiously looking up to Duke. Damn that. This North Carolina. This is where Jordan played and Worthy and Vince Carter and Antoine Jameson. This is where those boys come from. I need a return to that. Kenny the Jet Smith. I hope he forgives me because he's probably going to be mad at me because he don't want me to do this because he loves his boy, Hubie Davis, wanted to keep his job. And Kenny's fine doing television and doing all the great, great things that he's doing. But I believe in this brother as a basketball mind, and I damn sure believe in him as a recruiter. Kenny the Jet Smith, who I wanted to be the president of basketball operations for the New York Knicks, by the way. That man, as the head coach at the University of North Carolina, with his connections to youth basketball in America and all the kids he knows, walking into somebody's living room to recruit their child, oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. It would be special. A return to glory for the University of North Carolina, as far as I'm concerned. That's right, I said it, and I mean it, too. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Lots of stuff to get into. one of the best people to get into it with is one of the renowned coaches in the history of college basketball. He's a national champion. One of the greatest coaches to have ever blessed collegiate sports. The one and only Tom Izzo from Michigan State. You'll be here next with yours truly, right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.